It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Burrow takes the snap. Ravens bring blitz pressure. Burrow throws to the end zone. It's incomplete! It's incomplete! And with 38 seconds left to play, the Hayes in the barn! Oh, what a wild way to end it tonight, as the Ravens will sweep the series from the Bengals and improve to 7-3.
That was unreal. Ravens Radio, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, that was the failed two-point conversion, and that was the difference. Final score, Ravens 35, Bengals 34. Bengals are up 21-7 in the third quarter, Perloff, and then it became just an epic shootout, basically, in the fourth quarter. It was the correct call to go for two.
Well,
do you want to argue about that?
Yes. First of all, it wasn't. Second of all, the call was missing something. What about the 9 personal fouls on the way? I mean, listen, if the receivers are going to go out, everyone's just going to tackle everybody, and then you're going to hit Joe Burrow in the head, not once, but twice, and they're going to swallow the whistle, then of course you're going to win on that play. But I'll tell you,
You're right. There was a face mask that was missed. Yeah. There was a defensive holding that was missed on the two-point conversion.
Two defensive holdings.
Two defensive holdings that were missed on the two-point conversion that failed, and that ultimately ended the game because the Bengals attempted an onside kick. They didn't get it back, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, if Kirk Herbstreit is going to call out the officials, then there's no one on earth who's... So anyway, that was a disappointing ending. But you see, let's talk about the going for two.
Okay.
You watch the game. There's no way on earth the Bengals were going to hit that. You know why? Because they bombed on every other fourth and two throughout the game. Well, early they hit one, but they were not consistent in their short yardage situation. So I had no faith in them to get that play. And then you leave 30 seconds for Lamar Jackson. Jackson was definitely getting a field goal. The only way that you were going to actually have a chance in that game is if you did not put the pressure on the Ravens to score and they got to overtime. Because if they had gone up at that point by 1 point, then they lose the game on a Ravens field goal. They could not stop Lamar at all.
They could not. Nobody could stop each other at the end of the game, but except for the Ravens on that two-point conversion. But Justin Tucker is not the same guy.
Okay.
So I don't know. He missed an extra point earlier in the game that you thought was going to be a difference maker. And it always sort of is because you end up chasing. But I don't think that Justin Tucker, you can say without a doubt that they would have won the game on a Justin Tucker field goal. He can't hit one plus 50 yards anymore, basically. And I don't know if you can
do that. That's your bet against Justin. Okay.
Here's my thing, though. I want to be consistent about this because we just watched the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, a little bit different because the Bengals are obviously, you know, they're a better team than the Bucks are. But you're on the road. You're in a hostile environment. You have not stopped the Ravens in about 35 minutes of real time.
No.
So why would you extend the game with them, right?
Right.
Like, why do you want to go to overtime? If I thought that Todd Bowles and the Bucks should have gone for two and they kicked the extra point and lost in overtime, I got to be consistent here. And I do believe that the Bengals did the right thing. Try to get out of there, win the game, and then have your defense at least just hold Lamar with 30 seconds left. I see what they were doing.
From an analytic standpoint and a logic standpoint, you're dead on. But the reality of watching last night, you had, first of all, the Bucs would have missed their two-point conversion as well. There is no doubt in my mind. But I just knew. I was positive they were going to miss that two-point conversion because they were making some short yardage calls that were so mind-boggling throughout the game. They were saved by a lot of sloppy play by the Ravens.
Penalties by the Ravens on that final drive really kept it alive.
I mean, legit penalties. And, of course, on that final play was the dirtiest play of the whole drive. And they got away with everything.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have faith. The Bengals lost this game so many different points before that ending. I'm frustrated. Full disclosure, I picked the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl. And I still think they're a Super Bowl caliber team that's going to end up like 7-10. But they just have mistakes. I mean, you knew up 21-7, as you mentioned, then Chase Brown fumbles. Of course he fumbles because that's the Bengals this year. They just find losing plays out of nowhere again and again and again and again.
Well, that turned the tide on the game 100% because the Bengals appeared to be in control. You kind of had both quarterbacks sort of get hurt in the game. Nothing crazy. Lamar had hurt his hand. They were looking at the back of his hand. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow got hit, I think, in the ribs or somewhere, and he was having trouble kind of reaching for his helmet. Like, both guys, and yet somehow they were coming up with, you know, still coming up with explosive plays, exploiting each other's poor secondaries, and it just became this wild shootout. I'm curious if people are, you know, upset about that two-point conversion try, and you can call us at 855-212-4227. The Ravens keep winning these tight games when they make so many mistakes. Like last night, they had 11 penalties in the game. They should have been called for a penalty on the two-point conversion. They didn't. They won this game. They're going to be in the driver's seat, I think, for the division because the Steelers' schedule is about to get way, way, way tougher. And then we got to talk about if the Bengals are making the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a wrong marker for the Ravens. This is absolutely Super Bowl win or bust. Like, and that's a question. Not can they win the division, like, can they take out the Chiefs this year? And last night, you definitely have to worry about that defense. When Kyle Hamilton went out especially, then, man, they are really bad. And I asked our research team this morning, but apparently it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Has a defense this bad won the Super Bowl? And it's going to be real tricky because there are a lot of common statistical metrics about you have to have a pretty good defense to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe the 19 Chiefs, maybe the Greatest Show on Turf Rams, but they're really bad, Maggie. Marlon Humphrey came up with a big play. You got the fumble. And obviously, Kyle Hamilton is one of the top 10 defenders in the NFL. He's unbelievable. I think he clones himself because one plays at the line, the next he's in the backfield. So there are players there. And also, why did they trade for offense at the deadline and not trade for more defense? I know they did a couple little defensive things, but
Deontay Johnson they did trade for.
Yeah, who was terrible.
Well,
last
he was
night.
Just kind of invisible last night.
But... Oh, no, he hurt them. I mean, he fell on one pattern and then he couldn't get out of bounds on another. He's bad.
The leading receiver for the Ravens last night was Tylan Wallace, and that's because the Bengals couldn't push him out of bounds. See, that's the kind of stuff where you're saying, I still think that, you know, the Bengals and they're this good team. And, you know, Joe Burrow is a great quarterback and Jamar Chase is a phenomenal wide receiver. Are they a good team, though?
No.
They're not. Okay. So let's get to the point here, which is they've got an all-time quarterback. They've got a great receiver. I understand that T. Higgins was out last night. Nothing's ever going to be perfect in the NFL. You're lucky if you have all your guys with you all the time. But they also do stuff that puts them in losing positions. This game, you know, is going to be come down to the slightest margins of error. And the fact that they let Tylan Wallace scamper down the sideline when three guys tried to push him out of bounds and couldn't just push him out of bounds. I'm not asking for you to, like, stand in and, you know, take a truck or something or do some wild defensive play. Push him out of bounds.
He kind of went out of bounds.
Don't think his heel was down.
Yeah.
I think that was right.
Right. But you're right. They are not a good team. But that being said, you're going to look at I think the AFC title game is going to be the Ravens and the Chiefs. And look at how the Bengals played against both those teams. They lost 41-38 in overtime in the first game. They lost last night on a failed two-point conversion. And they really were creative in the way they lost to the Chiefs. Like, they're right there with the best teams in the AFC. And yet, they are not making the playoffs. That's unusual.
But really, why? Because, yes, you just pointed out that the Bengals are able to play good games against good teams. But they dug themselves in a hole early on. They're going to really rue the day that they lost to the New England Patriots in that opener. Because if you are now, which is what they are, vying for a wild card, now it's just going to come down to your record. Like, the division record now is not going to be the thing because you're not winning the AFC North. So you got teams in front of you like the Indianapolis Colts, like the Denver Broncos, the Chargers. I mean, you got teams right behind you like the Jets, EJ's Jets. This is not going to be easy.
I think you might have to go undefeated the rest of the way, because if you're 10-7, there's no guarantee of anything. Maybe you have room for one loss. You're right. The other thing too is Joe Burrow going to be, how many times did he get hit last night? Is he going to be able to last throughout the season? He hangs in the pocket because last night was such a must-win game. At a certain point, he's probably taken too many hits, I would think. And how many, if Orlando Brown can't show up for this game, like, when's he going to show up? And he's usually very durable. T. Higgins isn't going to show up for this game. When's he going to show up? So they feel like a mash unit. That's the big problem, too.
And to be honest, Burrow's not durable. He's awesome. He's tough. Fantastic. Oh, he's tough, but he's not durable.
Well,
so you're asking he's going to be taking hits after hits after hits. They're going to accumulate. So you're saying that the Bengals may have to win out. Can I give you their schedule the rest of the way?
Yeah.
Chargers, at the Chargers, that's going to be a
that's tough.
Sunday night game.
That's not easy.
Then they're bye.
They can. They will not lose that week. Bet on it.
Stunning analysis that you can get only here at M&P. Then Pittsburgh.
That, I mean, they should, if they're going to be a playoff team, they definitely should be Pittsburgh.
At the Cowboys on a Monday night.
I like that.
At Tennessee.
Good.
Home Cleveland.
I like that.
Home Denver.
Okay, good.
At Pitt.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a team. The Steelers are a bit of an unknown, right? They just put in Russell Wilson. We'll see. That's not impossible. That's not impossible at all. That Chargers game is really tough, but not impossible.
Are they a good team?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are a good team. I understand what you're saying. There's just like little moments. The coaching is not great this year, but they had opportunities last night. There's one drive. They had 3rd and 3 about the 45-yard line, and they try a deep pass on 3rd and 3. Okay, you go over shot. Then they try another deep pass on 4th and 3. Again, like Zach Taylor lost his mind several points last night. His strategy, like we're going to go for it on 4th down to keep it out of Lamar's hands, don't let them get rid of him, was smart. But they just, for some reason, they can't take advantage of these opportunities to close the door this year.
You know what I thought the story was going to be about 3 quarters into this game? Lou Anarumo is back. I thought the Bengals' defense and forcing the Ravens into all these punts, well, that's out the window.
Well, I mean, listen, all these punts.
Early in the game.
Yeah, I know, but they kind of like, it was the end of the first quarter, and Lamar had one drive. It wasn't like
the time of possession. That's winning football. That's a way to win.
They got really lucky, I think, to have these massive drives to keep the ball out of Lamar's hands. Then it was just a matter of time. I think that is one of the stories. I said to EJ earlier this morning, have you noticed Lamar Jackson has completely mastered the game of football? It's so easy for him right now. I mean, and he was hurt. He clearly couldn't run like he usually did until the very end. Because he didn't practice this week. I don't even know what his injury is, but they definitely were holding him back from running. He is, I mean, it's like by the end of the game, he was seeing everything so clearly. There was no way Cincinnati could stop him.
No, the final touchdown that the Ravens scored, which put them ahead 35-34. Excuse me, that's not the right score. 35-28. That was beautiful. Logo worthy. Like, that's going to be Lamar's, like, signature. That was his Jumpman sort of moment.
He is a two-time MVP winner. His stats are so far above anything he's ever done in his career. Like, he's totally different right now. And also, last night you didn't really even see them. All of a sudden, Tywin Wallace not only had that big play on the sideline, had another big play. He has targets. You don't know where they're coming from. You can't really stop anybody. And we didn't even see Derrick Henry last night. He was okay.
He
was fine.
Hasn't really been a factor in both of their games against the Bengals. And you had no Likely last night, too. And
yeah, I mean, like,
finding
you even
Bateman
need him.
And they're, I mean, they've got other guys. Zay Flowers, who I know you like.
Oh, the human joystick, Zay Flowers. There's a lot going on there.
I think there's a question. I don't mean to say this like kind of disrespectfully, but I think there's a question. Are the Bengals actually good? They got a great quarterback and they have a great wide receiver. Are they actually a good team?
They have a great, Trey Hendrickson is great. He got around, that's one thing about it that's frustrating, because you get to Lamar Jackson. Hendrickson had his arms on him twice and he got away.
Bring him down.
So I think like he's a good, you know, I think he still leads the league in sacks, even though he didn't get one last night. He's a great player. So you got one great player on defense. You have two amazing players on offense. our buddy Albert Breer was tweeting. He actually had a really funny, he goes, I think the Bengals should pay Jamar Chase at the airport tonight. And then he scored another touchdown. It's like, they should pay him in the locker room after the game. And then he scored another one. It's like, they should pull him out and sign a contract right now, because Jamar Chase, he is going to pull up the Brinks truck. I mean, he's the most valuable player to that team. They have to pay him now, right?
Yeah, well, outside of Tanner Hudson.
Well, you can't stop Tanner Hudson.
That guy's just a beast. You're right. It's like that scene from Hard Knocks this year where they just called DJ Moore out of practice. And it's like, hey, your agent's here. Hey, we want to give you $100 million. Like, that's not a bad Tuesday.
Yeah.
Pretty
they
cool.
They should have done that between possessions last night. Jamar Chase, was that back one step? Did the Ravens screw up by letting Jamar Chase get all those yards? Or is Jamar Chase that good? I don't know how you answer that question.
Well, he kind of cooks the Ravens every time. But it does. And there were times, too, in the second half and even in the fourth quarter when Jamar Chase is just open. How's he open?
Yeah, right.
The contested catches are one thing, back of the end zone stuff. But in the middle of the field.
Burrow extended some plays. That helped. Paid the price for doing that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow could have one of the top 20 all-time statistical seasons for a quarterback, and it's going to go nowhere.
And they're not going to. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't think so.
They're 4-6.
I don't think so. Do we have like a
that's
percentage?
A hot take. I mean, I'm not looking at the odds. It's got to be plus 400 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, the odds would be slim, is what you're saying.
Yeah, 4-6, the way they played, the way that they always find a way to fumble it or have a special teams mistake. Honestly, that coach, I like Zach Taylor, but I think a lot of he wears some of this because they're sloppy.
Man, do we have a new coach on the hot seat?
I don't think so. But I don't think he's feeling it right now. No, he can't possibly be on the hot seat. I mean, he had injuries this year. That's a full excuse.
But not to Burrow.
Yeah, but he has not really had T. Higgins. And he just, without your left tackle, it's almost an accomplishment that they played that well. So the Ravens are a juggernaut, right?
Yeah, the Ravens are a juggernaut, but they don't have a great, you can throw on them. They have the top rushing defense and one of the worst passing defenses. And you're playing Joe Burrow. This is why both of these games, I think, became shootouts, is because both have these weaknesses on their defense. So if I'm Zach Taylor and I'm the offensive guy and I have Joe Burrow and I have Ja'Marr Chase, I have a chance to win these games. You can't get your run game going. That's tough, but I'd rather have Joe Burrow in that kind of shootout.
Totally apologize. We have the odds way off.
Oh, go ahead.
Cincinnati plus 135 to make the playoffs, minus 160 to not make the playoffs.
Not ideal.
That's pretty close.
It's not as much of a landslide as you thought it was.
Right now, no. They're only two games back in the loss column from the last spot. And, of course, Denver hasn't played yet. So Denver could lose and there'll be one game back.
Well, Denver's playing the Chiefs this weekend, so they will lose.
Well, I think Maggie's point is a great one, though. Are they a good team? It's not even just about where they are. Are they good? I mean, that's a real question.
This is the one thing they've got going for them. And welcome to the show again if you're just joining us. We're talking about last night the Cincinnati Bengals lost a close game to the Ravens. Here are the other teams around you who are going to be vying for this seventh wild card spot or one of the wild card spots. We're talking about the Broncos, the Indianapolis Colts, the Jets.
This is the last wild card spot. So you're already giving the wild card to the Chargers and the second place team in the AFC North.
Basically.
Right. So, okay. Yeah.
So you're basically vying, but that's not the stiffest competition there.
No,
to be honest.
Definitely not.
The Colts... what's going to go on with quarterback? Are they going to stay with Flacco? Are they going to go back to Anthony Richardson? Denver Broncos have a rookie QB, and your Jets could be coming on.
Yeah. To what?
to the
end of times?
Could happen any day now, EJ.
Honestly, if the apocalypse hasn't happened with the Jets yet, and we're fine. The asteroid's just going to miss us.
I'm feeling one of those seasons where Aaron Rodgers goes on a late run and then they blow it in the last week. Feels like it could happen a couple years ago with Green Bay. Yeah, you're right. But still, oh my God. I mean, they will find a way to blow these games.
One thing I think is noteworthy about this playoff race is the Bengals by far have the worst strength of victory. I mean, the teams that they have beaten are awful.
Well, look at the Chargers.
And somehow they're worse than the Chargers, as bad as that is, and the Broncos. Both of those teams have under 30% strength of victory in terms of winning percentages of the opponents. The Bengals are at 22. So, they play against any good teams, they're losing these games.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whether it's someone injured, turnovers, luck, they can't beat anybody. They only seem to beat terrible teams, and they have some terrible teams left, but they also have some good teams left.
How many of these games? That's right. The schedule number is deceiving, though, because every time the Chargers play someone, their quarterback is hurt. They played nothing but backup quarterbacks.
True.
So, but they're probably a good team. Yeah, you're right. There's no doubt about it. They went over that a lot on the program last night.
The Panthers, the Giants, the Browns, and the Raiders. Those are their wins.
Wow.
I ask you again, are the Bengals a good team? Now, we've seen them go down to the wire with the Ravens twice and with the Chiefs. So, it's deceiving.
I think honestly, the announcers mushed them a little bit last night. Herbie was like, something happens to the Bengals in November. Look at Joe Burrow's eyes. And then they proceeded to make about 9 mistakes in a row after Herbie said that. Dude, don't do that. Don't do that to the Bengals. I know you're upset.
I kind of want to start a petition to remove the look in his eyes.
Well, but yeah, but then they must have gone 50 times to Burrow's eyes. I never realized he's a bit psycho. I like it in the most beneficial way.
They all are.
I'm Joe.
Maybe the look in the eye thing, because you know, at the same time, you're not really. Are you looking at Marlon Humphrey's eyes? Because I'm sure he looks crazy too.
Yeah, you're probably right. They probably all do. Lamar, the other hand, doesn't look crazy because he doesn't seem to feel any pressure. He doesn't even seem to know he's in a good game. He's like, I don't care. It's a close game. I'm going to beat you. Like he is. That was a quarterback duel. That was such a great quarterback duel. Two of the best in the NFL. Maybe the two best, possibly.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, Mahomes and Josh Allen. But they're all in that mix. That is really cool. Just something about, I'm really impressed, like Lamar, these lob passes. Like how, I'm like, oh, he's throwing it away. And then it lands in someone's hands.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable. You think the play is dead and he finds something.
855-212-4227. All right, we just unloaded info dump right there on everything that happened in the game last night.
Great game. Thank God. Finally a good Thursday night game.
It was awesome. So you're welcome to weigh in. Are the Cincinnati Bengals a good team? Are they going to make the playoffs? And does Lamar have this third MVP wrapped up? 855-212-4227.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I do not like what's going on right now one bit. For some reason, Andrew Bogus is here in the studio early. Nico is in the studio. I don't like that.
Hi,
Maggie's
hey,
here.
Nico.
Manny is here. And EJ is here. What's going on, Meg?
Well, we came to our senses yesterday and came to the realization that we had an outstanding bets to pay off. We thought, why not do it today? Now, before the baseball playoffs started, we did a home run sort of tally. Everyone got their teams, and whoever's guys hit the most home runs, they became king for a day. All hail King EJ.
Yeah.
He is king for the day. You get to give punishments to every single person who was on the show that day. So Manny is in running the board today. Nico was actually running the board that fateful day. Exactly. So as if Nico wasn't tortured enough by doing the overnight shift last night, now we're keeping him here as he wants to go to sleep desperately. We're keeping you awake. This is some type of hazing ritual that we're doing for you. And now EJ gets to give you a punishment. First of all, Nico, are you scared?
Yes, very.
You have any idea what you're about to do?
I have no clue.
That's how I like it. I like a little fear.
Oh, I don't what like a tyrant this guy.
I don't like it being perceived as punishment, okay? It is just declarations that are handed out, and it's not a punishment. It's just king declarations that are being done. It's all good.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
Exactly.
He's looking at it that way.
Thank you in advance, EJ.
You're not a tyrant.
What a merciful, benevolent king you are.
Yes, I'm a progressive king. All hail. And I'm so glad Maggie mentioned the word opportunity, because for the first time in a king of a day, Nico will have an opportunity to get out of this. But Nico, the problem is you said you didn't know what GQ was, which was quite surprising to most. But GQ has been doing Sexiest Man of the Year since 1995, actually. And I know you're a youngster, but if you can give me who the first athlete to be named Man of the Year for GQ, you can get out of this.
95?
Since 95. Now, it doesn't mean that it was in 95.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But since 95, the first athlete, and it's going to be a man because it's a male thing, obviously. If you can name that, you're done and you can go home.
So you're saying since 95 there's been
the first one.
Nico, think about this. You know what was going on in the 90s. I don't even know who it is. I just have a guess. Who was the team of the 90s?
I have a guess too.
My first thought was the Chicago Bulls.
I think that's a good first thought.
That's not where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
I'm going totally different than both of you guys. I know who you're thinking. You're thinking gift package.
I am. That doesn't come out sounding right.
Gift
Thank
package.
You.
I don't even know
he
what that
might
means.
Not know that
oh
reference either.
Lord.
This is why you got yourself in this position, Nico.
It was more of a gift basket.
Sorry.
I think if we're remembering the story correctly. Yeah. It was a rumor. It's
package
all
is an appropriate word in this
that
situation.
That was involved as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I think of the 90s, the first thought was Chicago Bulls. Then I think of the Yankees, your Buffalo Bills. Okay.
It's not the Bills. It's not Jim Kelly.
Okay. Listen, Bruce Smith was a stunner. Yeah. Cornelius Bennett was a real looker, but it's not him.
We're going to go with Yankees.
Wait.
It's got to be Derek Jeter then.
Wait, before you guess that, I'm going to guess it was more recent. and it was Travis Kelce.
So, I'm sticking with Jordan.
So and I wish you had Bogus's brain, because unfortunately, Nico, you are wrong. It is indeed Michael Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nico.
Michael Jordan was 96.
It's not Derek Jeter.
Nico was led astray, run amok, straight up bamboozled.
Yeah. So
because, I just threw Nico right out of the train tracks. So like, no, sit here.
In fact, I don't even see Derek Jeter anywhere on this list through the 90s. So I'm actually wondering if maybe he had some kind of beef with GQ. Either way,
don't be a hater.
I hate Derek Jeter too, so I should have not.
I'm sorry, Nico. You were totally right.
So because of that, and I know you're a diehard Giants fan, I need you to give us one thing that each of your division opponents do better than the Giants as an organization or a fan base or a community.
I thought you were going to have him sing the Eagles fight song.
Just one? The challenge here is just one.
Win football games. Next question.
You got the Commanders, you got the Cowboys, you got the Eagles.
All right, we need compliments for the rest of the NFC East.
All right, so we'll start with the Commanders, and I'm going to have to go with drafting quarterback.
Recent development, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right. And the Giants have not done well with that over the last, since Eli Manning, I guess you could say, which is only Daniel Jones, not a lot to choose from, but he was awful. So we'll go with Commanders drafting
a quarterback. And let's be honest, they needed a little help to get Eli, too.
Yeah, that's also true.
That's very true, okay. Let's go to the Cowboys.
It's funny, I started with the Commanders because I hate them the least. So now this is where it gets difficult. Eagles will go with stealing the Giants' best player.
Saquon.
Yeah. Still not over.
You make it sound like that's a habit that they've always done. Yeah.
For the Cowboys.
Don't be stupid.
This is so difficult because the Cowboys don't really do a lot well either, if I'm being honest, right?
They win more games than they
get. Well,
they give great tours.
Yeah, the MetLife Stadium tour must be the most boring thing alive.
We'll go with...
Gotta give me something, Nico. It's
so hard because I don't like anything about the Cowboys. It's so hard for me to get it out.
Don't be ridiculous.
Let's be honest. They draft quarterbacks better than you guys do, too.
Yeah.
No. Okay. You got it. I'm not going to give you any more help.
No, I already led you wrong.
We need a drop of Nico saying something very nice about the Cowboys.
We'll go with... I mean, they've dominated the Giants over the last 5 years, so can I just say all they do is beat the Giants?
I love it.
Ding, ding, ding.
There we go.
That hurt. I'm not going to lie. That really hurt.
Thank you, Nico. I mean, it's time, you know, people complain, you know, about feelings of things being too New York, not just around here, but just in the countries. It's time we give these other teams some respect. So I'm glad you were able to give some respect to the rest of the NFC.
Yeah, no one ever talks about the Cowboys. Congratulations. You've paid off your first Maggie and Perloff bet, Nico. You can go home and go to sleep now.
I'm honored. Thank you.
And sorry about that whole Derek Jeter thing.
Yeah, but remember who had your back, Nico. Listen to me.
Michael Jordan is a sexy guy.
I don't see Jordan. Oh, yeah. He was the man. But I think there's actually an out on this. There's an out on this.
What?
In 1986, Mark Harmon was named the sexiest man alive. Now, anyone who knows deep history of Mark Harmon, the actor from Summer School, he was a quarterback at UCLA. He was a star football player. So maybe, Nico, you can argue about this. No one here knows who Mark Harmon is.
I know who Mark Harmon is.
Mark, remember,
I've seen Summer School.
If you were old enough to have cable television, Summer School was on. This is a great, silly movie.
Mark Harmon's pretty good.
He was a baller, like Burt Reynolds. Like, he was a really good football player. But I don't see Michael Jordan listed. I'm looking at
GQ's Men of the Year cover stars.
Oh, GQ. I'm in People. No wonder.
I had to.
Get your sexiest man alive
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
I know it's early, but no excuses.
GQ, do they? Oh, they do Man of the Year. We just inserted sexiest.
That's about right for our show. Bogus, why don't you get to the headlines? Nico, you can go.
Good job, buddy.
I don't want to keep you here any longer.
It was a pleasure.
Well, Nico, you can go. But before Bogus does his headlines, there's one thing for Bogus now.
Want to pay off two in the same hour?
Yes, and it won't even take any time. Because I don't know about you, Bogus. It feels a little chilly. I think maybe you need a little something to keep you warm. So give me a second. You can start your update.
Oh, boy. I thought Okay, fine. Headlines are sponsored by... I'm not saying anything out loud to give you any ideas.
Prize this is going to be painful for you.
Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here. And Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action.
Oh, yeah.
Download Prize Picks. Yes.
Oh, boy. That's a New York Knicks warm-up jacket. Bogish hates the Knicks.
That's
no,
a beauty.
No, I hate Knicks fans more than the Knicks.
There. Okay.
I hate Manny for being really specific.
just wearing a Jalen Brunson jersey just for... Just because. Sports team.
Where was I? Football season's here. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks. Use code MANDP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You look you look a little green, like something is, you look
it's
revolted.
Itchy. Yeah. The Ravens and Bengals do not disappoint in overtime thriller last month. A one-pointer last night decided on a failed two-point conversion. Imagine the highlight package that Chris Berman could do this morning. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Chase, and the Bengals built a 21-7 third-quarter lead in Baltimore on Thursday Night Football.
Zay Flowers.
Whoop. But then running back Chase Brown fumbled.
Zay, you better buy your wife some flowers.
You sound like Chris Berman in the nursing home.
No, I kind of sound like Paulie
from an iron lung.
Yeah, just like with the walker, he's like muttering to himself, oh, you wouldn't have believed it, Zay Flowers. Like, that's not Berman.
Rashad Bateman, is that guy open? Isaiah likely not playing tonight.
They'd be like, all right, Mr. Berman, back over here for your applesauce.
So it was 21-7 Bengals in the third quarter. Chase Brown fumbled. The Ravens then found the end zone on their next four possessions to take the lead. Chase's third TD catch of the night had Cincy within one with 38 seconds to go, but...
Going for two. Snap. Burrow in the pocket. Burrow, soft toss. It is incomplete. Right side throw to Hudson. Fall to the turf. The Ravens stop the Bengals.
And beat the Bengals 35-34. Each QB threw four touchdowns last night. Three of Lamar Jackson's came in that fourth quarter.
I say it's like a playoff game. You know, we see each other twice a year. We pretty much know each other somewhat. And guys just trying to get after it.
The win moves Baltimore to 7-3. They have one more win, but also one more loss than the Steelers. So Pittsburgh remains atop the AFC North. The 4-6 Bengals are ninth in the West, or in the AFC for now. We can all relax. The Bucks finally won another game last night, 123-100 over Utah, ending a six-game slide, their longest since March of 2015. Damian Lillard scored 34.
I think we needed it bad, you know, desperately.
Lillard's averaging 37 over his last three games.
Well, we got to bring back our spin doctor segment.
Oh, Doc Rivers.
We forgot about
he's
that.
He's been a little quiet, honestly. I've been waiting for something.
Well, we wanted to give it to Joe Mazzulla. He's not the spin doctor, of course. No one does that better than Doc Rivers, but Mazzulla is just a madman.
When you say we want to give it to Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, me.
You're obsessed with Joe Mazzulla.
Have you seen the insane things? He thinks that basketball should have a hockey power play when someone commits a personal foul. That's bananas.
He's not the spin doctor. He's the quack doctor.
Dr. Nick.
We do a call every night where we go over topics. I'm like, you know, what about the Chiefs beating the Bucks in overtime? Maggie's like, what about Joe Mazzulla?
I got a quote from him from last Friday that's going to blow your doors off.
True story.
This man baffles you, Maggie. Your brain cannot compute the things the Celtics coach says.
I think he's trolling us. He's like, I think that players should be able to fight, which is like kind of in my wheelhouse. The power play thing is just insane.
He's a weird little guy, but
he's a sicko.
the story about his dad dropping him off in a muddy field and just like basically leaving him for dead. Like, I don't know. This guy is fascinating. We did not have the same upbringing is what I'm getting at.
Remember when we thought he was crazy just watching The Town every day? Seems cool and okay at this point.
Totally. That's the most vanilla thing about him.
Maybe you're onto something.
He's insane. Just wait. But now he's got power. He's a championship coach. He's going to let these things fly. There's no holding back anymore.
But you think he's trolling? You think he's doing this on purpose to mess with us, or he's just off?
I mean, I don't know. That's what has me so fascinated.
Do you have a Joe Mazzulla board now, like a murder board?
I'm roped in.
Yeah. You good?
No. It's funny. I'm now just thinking about Maggie's idea. I do remember like something he had to get home on his own, but you describe him as like he was raised by wolves because his parents
dropped off on the side of the road. Dad's like, find your way home. Like, I don't know if I'm for that, but it created a weird dude. And then remember we talked to Bob Huggins like before he had some of his stuff, and he was still the head coach at West Virginia. And Joe Mazzulla had just got the job, and Huggins and Mazzulla played for Huggins at West Virginia. We're like, so what's he like? He's like, I don't really know. Wow. Yeah. He played for you.
Yeah. Bob Huggins of all people was like, that guy. Yeah. Can't quite figure him out. Says a lot.
Bob Huggins like, that guy's intense. Like, it's Huggy Bear calling him intense.
And that's why I was like, all right, this guy's on my block now. Like, now he's on my radar. And he's only gotten weirder.
And by the way, Bob Huggins was ready to fight Maggie and I over nothing.
Like, he was.
Like, hey, you know, you guys got the Sweet 16 last year. Nice job. Oh, yeah, you got a problem with that? He was on edge. And he's nothing compared to Mazzulla.
Yeah, it was a very big contrast between him and Scott Drew, who had basically done counterintelligence research on Perloff and myself to see where our biases lie.
Yeah, he called our relatives to prepare for the interview.
He's like, Maggie, heard you at GW, 01 to 04. Saw a lot of good basketball under Carl Hobbs, huh? I was like, oh, you're crazy.
Maggie, I hear you're allergic to salmon.
I was like, how's that going for you? Like, well, pretty bad.
Maggie, who shot JFK?
By the way, I'm all of that stuff now. I've got another story for you another time about why I'm leaving the conspiracy stuff
to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, to the professionals like Aaron Rodgers. I was just amateur in this thing, and I got to tell you, I got caught in something that was very embarrassing, and so now I've had to leave it to the side.
Publicly embarrassing?
No. Not involving San Diego Chicken, by the way?
No, I apologize
great
to
guy.
Him and his family. He did not get me to.
Stained of a chicken.
Yeah.
No, something embarrassing happened to me. I'll save that story.
Yeah.
You know what? It's going to be hard to cancel me.
Yeah.
And not me.
Maggie just canceled another reason it. Why. Canceled a chicken.
I tried.
Anthony Edwards had 33 and the T-Wolves 135-119 win in Chicago.
Nothing.
And the Spurs down the Blazers 118-105. The New York Post says Mets owner Steve Cohen will meet with Scott Boras and Juan Soto next week in California. And on ice, the Winnipeg Jets are the second team ever to win 13 of his first 14 games after a 1-0 decision over Colorado. The Hurricanes on an 8-game run after thumping the Penguins 5-1. Florida's won 6 straight, 6-2 over Nashville. Back to you guys now.
I love this. Daily is in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySports. And I said, Missoula's grandpa made him play basketball with a bowling ball. Yes, he's reaching like Chuck Norris amazing. Level. I'd believe anything.
Did we just pat? The Winnipeg Jets are 13-1. Is that the most bizarre thing you've ever heard? What? We were just saying like
the Joe Mazzulla.
What's the last time the Winnipeg Jets were good?
I mean, not this good.
That's insane. I love how you drop random hockey things that are like, wait, like what?
That's what you heard.
I don't know. That's insane. You just said the Winnipeg Jets are having the best start in NHL history.
Yeah.
So he's paying attention.
No, I am.
Canada's a buzz.
What's that?
Canada. Buzzing about this.
Oh, Western Canada. Yeah. Okay.
How do you think Atlanta feels?
I think they're fine. They got the Hawks. They beat the Knicks the other night, so they're probably feeling good.
Wait, did Atlanta lose the Winnipeg Jets? Is that where that's coming
from? No, the Flames they had the Thrashers who became the Jets.
Winnipeg.
Right, but Winnipeg was what happened to the original Winnipeg Jets?
they became the Arizona Coyotes.
And where
just like
now?
The Atlanta Flames became the Calgary Flames, then the Thrashers went to Atlanta and then went to Winnipeg, restarting the Jets franchise that had left for Arizona.
See, hockey genius, Andrew Bogus. You should be on TSN, dude.
I think we should start a new segment called Let's Blow Perloff's Mind.
Wait, where's Arizona now?
Utah.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, Perloff, have you heard this guy, Boogie Flan?
I was going to say Ivan.
Well, I got to say, the Arizona overnight move to Utah was the weirdest thing we've ever done on the show. Like, all of a sudden, Bogus came in on Wednesday and said, and yes, the Coyotes are moving to Utah on Thursday. That's exactly...
It was actually a story for 3 months. You just never...
No, I read all about that. That was not a story for 3 months. That was... that's the most insane franchise move of all time.
Agree to disagree. 855-212-4227. No, it's funny. Coming up, Christian McCaffrey is back. Does that mean everything is right for the 49ers? We'll get to it next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
EJ is king for a day. He won the baseball postseason home run bet. Because he had the foresight to take Giancarlo Stanton. Good on you. And Fernando Tatis and Shohei Ohtani. And to be honest, we were all doomed.
This is definitely the cartoon version of Lion King, right?
Oh, yes. The real version.
If you have kids, you know both the real version. I'm sure you know this too, Maggie. The real life version of the Lions.
Yep. The live action
I
one. Almost,
I have all those songs memorized. Had to watch them 1,000 times. Saw the play too.
Oh, I'm in it right now. And for some reason, my kid likes the live action more than the cartoon.
The live action is awesome.
It's good.
Oh, yeah. We're not in Lion King. Right now, we're in Aladdin. And the one with Will Smith.
Oh, that's not good.
It's terrible.
That is weird.
It is so weird. Guy Ritchie directed it, and it's just so bad. They just ripped off the cartoon and did it way worse.
Yeah, no, that was a bad idea.
I haven't even told him what happened to Will Smith at the Oscars. No. I don't know if my kid would get that. He's 5.
You see, Will Smith and his wife had this podcast at a red table, and then,
and Chris Rock made a joke about it, and then Will Smith got up there and smacked the bleep out of him.
Yeah, that would be hard to explain.
That's a 6-year-old.
Yeah, we got distracted.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, great news, 49ers fans. Christian McCaffrey is back, baby. Here's Kyle Shanahan expecting CMC to play on Sunday.
I do feel good one way or another. Okay. It's been 2 good days, and I mean, I'm not trying to. I mean, I'm just kind of messing around, but yeah. I mean, he's been awesome these last 2 days. So hopefully that continues to go well, and expect to get him out there. And you never know for a setback or anything, but these 2 days have been great, and expect to see him out there.
Music to the 49ers' ears. I mean, that's gonna make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. All right, you got McCaffrey. You got a shot here, Perloff. They have to go cross-country, which can be a little bit tough, to go face the Tampa Bay Bucs, who are coming off of a short week. They lost in overtime to the Chiefs. Yes?
What's the spread on this game?
I thought it was 5.
Only God knows.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, the Niners should roll here because they had the bye. Everybody gets healthy, and the Bucs still don't have... Like, who are the Bucs? I can't believe the Bucs receiving corps. Like, how are they going to compete with now having Christian McCaffrey and the Niners offense almost fully formed? I just don't understand. Baker Mayfield is going to have to pull a miracle off to keep the game
close. 6.5, by the way. What? I think it moved off of the Christian McCaffrey news. It's now 6.5.
Yeah.
I believe it was 5 earlier in the week.
I thought it was even less than that at a certain point.
Oh, maybe it opened at 4 or something. But
This feels like the Niners, I heard somebody say last year off this situation, off the bye, they just completely housed somebody. It feels like they're ready to explode offensively.
Yeah, but again, it's a cross-country trip, and how is McCaffrey going to be on some kind of pitch count? Is he going to be, full go?
Why did the Niners pay him this year if he wasn't going to come out till week 9?
Thank you. Well, I asked this question multiple times.
Wait. No, you asked it when they paid him? But how'd you know he wasn't coming out till week 9 or 10?
No, I didn't know that. I just didn't first of all, none of us really knew that he was maybe holding out in some of the offseason
workouts.
But
how do you hold out knowing you're so injured that you're not going to play half the season? That I feel like this is not, the injury aspect of it is not being talked about enough.
Well, by the way, they gave him he was already one of the highest paid running backs in the league. I know he does more than just running back. But they just gave him a raise. Meanwhile, you had, Ayuk out here was begging for a contract, and Trent Williams was begging for a contract, and they made them wait all offseason. And McCaffrey got done really quickly. Granted, it was less money than Ayuk, but still.
Yeah, and Ayuk probably was not a great idea anyway. They probably should have
not. He's out for the year.
Probably not paid that guy, but... I just think it was like interesting. Like we actually talked to, who is it? Chris Rose, NFL Network, told us that he did a random interview with McCaffrey and was wearing a walking boot and nobody was talking about his injury. It is crazy that he didn't come back to week 9. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Well, and let's see how it looks.
Yeah, great point.
So that's to me why that's a stay away for me in terms of betting. We're going to get to our picks a little bit later on the show. But I'm curious of the 49er fans, does this now fix the season? And by the way, nobody else has really distinguished themselves in the NFC West. This thing is totally winnable.
Who's getting hurt this week is the second question. Aww. Who's going? I mean, come on. What is going on with that team? How many plays in a row can Debo do?
Coming up next, the college football coaching carousel. Just got a little bit of an update. Tell you next.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.